Precious Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to address your people. Because, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, they're all your people. And, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you have your way. Give us ears to hear and give us a hunger, Lord, and a thirst to eat your word and to drink it in to where it grows within us, that we'll move on from where we're at into an area where you want us to be. So be glorified here this morning. It's in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The reason I shut down in Sunday school is because it's been about a month ago. I got up at 4:30 in the morning. I felt like the Lord got me up at 4:30 in the morning. And he said, I got a question that you've never asked me. You know how we know that God says that he'll grant the desires of our heart. He said, the question you've never asked me, you never asked me what my desire for you is. So that's where I'm going to start. This is, I think I told Margaret, the reason we ought to pray. But I would tell you the reason we get to pray. That prayer is not only communicating, confessing that God exists, but it's also confessing Proverbs 3:5-6 and trusting the Lord with all your heart. And you quit leaning into your own understanding, which is that space there in between the church, the ground, and the heavens, because the heavens declare his glory. So we need to get out of this leaning into our own understanding. But it said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So I wanted to tell you, if you're here today, you're not here by accident. You're here by the purpose that God has ordained in your life to be here, and you're sitting in these seats so you would hear what he's given me to speak to you about, and hopefully you won't see me, but you'll hear God. Amen? Okay. And one of the first things he said to me, and it says, second chapter of Genesis, that's why I had to shut up. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone, but I will make him a helpmate, meet for him. That's what it says, meet, or fit for him. Well, that's when he created man in his own image. And that is really his desire, and that's always been his desire, that we come to that image, that we stay focused. And when you look in the mirror, you're looking in the mirror to see him. Because the more you're looking to see him, I believe the scripture teaches us, the more we will see him. Okay? And I heard something the other day. I started laughing about it. And I don't know why I was laughing about it. Actually, I do know why I was laughing about it. But a guy was talking. He was quoting, I think it's in Ephesians, where it talks about there's a time for this and a time for that. I can't even find it right now. But it tells you about all these times, and he says it tells you that there's a time for 28 different things. And this is what I got out of it. He said, but nowhere in there is it a time to quit. That should be really important for you. There's never a time to quit. Well, we do confess that God's got it. But the whole thing is, when we say got it, we got to mean ourselves too. He's got it. But, you know, he's doing everything he wants to do. So I got this morning, and I believe God does everything in order. Today is September the 11th. September the 11th, I've heard it's Groundhog Day. But but September the 11th should mean something to anybody that's been in America for the last 20-some years. It should mean something, because I know it means something to all those families. I mean, who runs into a building, goes up steps, and goes 30 floors when the only way back down is those steps to get people? Who does that? Well, people that God knows is ready for sacrifice. Because that's what happened. that's what happened. Well, God knows that we're sitting here waiting for the word to be said. And this is September the 11th, Allah Jesus speaks. A glorious truth to know and believe. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. This is what Jesus says. At our last supper together, I revealed to a glorious truth to my disciples. Later, when they finally understood it and believed it, this truth radically changed their lives. Here it is. When people heard me speak, they really were hearing the Father. When they saw my life and works, they really were seeing the Father and his works. The Father was in me, and I was in him. We were unified in a way that we could not be comprehended. My own disciples had trouble understanding it. But after my resurrection, they realized that it was in the Father that were in me, that they were in me, and I was in them. They knew it, believed it, and acted on it. When I read that this morning, because I didn't read that until this morning, when I read that this morning, I go, oh, man. This is where God wants us to be. He wants us to believe in it, live in it, and act on it. How many out here today know that what God says is what he does? Now, I'm not sure. I raised my kids saying, tell me the truth. We can live in the truth. If you broke that window, tell me. Won't do nothing to you. But if you broke that window and you lied to me, I'm going to act upon that. You understand? So we can live in the truth. Why? Because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen? You shall know the truth. And Oscar said it so many times and so graceful. The truth is the person of Jesus Christ. He's the truth. It says, they enacted on it. Child, I want you to know that you are in me and I am in you. You and I can be unified as intimate as I was with my disciples, my first disciples. I want you to believe this truth and to act on it. Let my words and my life dwell in your heart and guide your behavior. If you will do this, nothing will be impossible for you. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Now, I enjoyed that so much this morning, I just picked it up and said, well, I'll add that. But getting back, there's a scripture in Ephesians, the third chapter, starting with the 14th verse, and I got to tell you what the title of this says. Prayer for Realization. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to his riches of his glory and to be strengthened with the might of his spirit in the inner man. I love this. In the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now, anytime I heard that, I always think about whose love, we're acceptable in his love. In Christ, we're acceptable. May be able to comprehend with all the saints, which is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know that the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, very much more than above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. And it says amen. Now I got a note down here that's a long note. I didn't write it. It's a long note. I got to flip the page. It's such a long note. But listen what it says to us. It says the purpose of the church. Hello, church. The ultimate purpose of the church is to bring honor and glory to its head. And in Sunday school, you heard a man tell you, don't look to him, look to Jesus. That's who the head of the church is. It said, Jesus Christ. It does this as it fulfills the two purposes related to God's program for the world. The one purpose of the church, as it relates to the world, is evangelism. This program is spelled out in the Great Commission, which has never been rescinded. The program is to teach all nations. The way this is to be done is twofold. And I love this because as soon as I read it, I thought of Etta. By baptizing them in the name of the Lord, of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and by teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Baptism is not an optional afterthought. I like how they said that. It is vital. It is a vital part of evangelism and making disciples. By baptizing, one indicates he has been identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. It said he is a member of the universal church, the body of Christ, and wishes to be identified with the local church. Why do we pray? So we can become one. He's one. Again, you mentioned it this morning. He's one what? He's one spirit. And for us to come together, we have to come in oneness. And we don't have to struggle with that. He that has brought you and he that has started a work in you is going to finish it. He'll finish that. It says, a responsible parent not only brings a child into the world, but also provides what is necessary for the child's growth. So in the church, teaching must accompany evangelism so that the child of God can learn all that God expects of him and has provided for him. I like that because, you know, it's not just telling what you're expected, but this is what you get. You know, we get to. You know, I was saying that the other day, and I stopped. I said, I get to breathe. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I mean, God is willing to give us everything we need to do his work. Okay. That's it. The believers who composed of the church's membership needed to be built up so they may realize all that God has provided for Christian living and that it may come to spiritual maturity. That's why I couldn't say nothing this morning. I knew I was going to talk about maturity. Let me say something to you that you might never ever wondered about. The heavenly host that surrounds us every moment of our lives are mature people. They've gone on to that. If you want to call it, they graduated. Way beyond us. They're our support system, always surrounding us, holding it up, encouraging us. Say, come on, you're almost there. You know, every once in a while, if I listen with that small, still voice within me, you go, okay, you're almost there. You don't know how close you are. It's happening. It's going to happen. Why? Because what God says, that's what he does. I mean, we've seen it in Jesus. He walked it out. He believed it. We believe it. They also need to be equipped to perform the work of the body of Christ. God wants them to perform. In real sense, each member of the church is to be a Christian worker. You know, anybody ever, you ever heard anybody say, well, I'm not sure what I should do. Well, okay. A Christian worker so that the work that God wants to perform through the local church can be accomplished. Hello. Hello. That's why I brought up when the person spoke that, and I heard it on the radio the other day, there's 28 of these things that there's a time for, but there's not a time for quitting or stopping. I go, all right. You know, I mean, come on. Well, a lot of you guys ain't near retirement age. But when I reached retirement age, didn't mean I stopped listening to God or I stopped loving his people or I started holding stuff against them that I've never held before. Matter of fact, God told me everybody that's ever left, I want you to treat them like they've always been there. So I can't go up, yep, I can't do it, but I can do it right now. But I can't go up and say, you don't know how much I missed you. And then say, where you been? You know what? They've been right where God wants them to be. And God ain't missed them. It's no lie. I mean, you know, think I didn't see that? I've seen that. My wife used to say, you know, you need to change the way you think or something because, you know, every time somebody says something, the look on your face tells them exactly what you're thinking. I should have slapped makeup on my face or something to cover it up. But, you know, I prayed about that a long time, and I think Debbie said something. My wife said something to me about it, and it was like God's using her to scold me, and I'm going like, really? She goes, yeah. And I'm just telling the truth. I looked at her, and I said, well, heck, I thought that was dead. She goes, oh, no, that's very much alive. You know, you can accept things from people that you know love you, and they accept you no matter how you are. Anyway. But God wants us to come to a place to where we start asking him what his desire is, because in doing his desire, you won't ever have to worry, well, I don't know what the will of God is. Don't you think one of his desires that you live to please him? Don't you think that when Jesus went to Calvary, he was doing what the Father desired? Don't you think that when he called Peter the rock, whom this, you know, the church would be built on and stuff like that, and then just a few seconds later he called him Satan? Don't you think that was God telling him, you speak to Satan because he's trying to deny what you're sent there to do? By the way, that's what the devil does. He tries to deny you what you're sent there to do. But I believe what God has purposed to accomplish within his local body and his universal body is going to be accomplished. I think September the 11th, 2001, God wasn't asleep. And all the people in the towers and all the people in the Pentagon and all the people on the plane that crashed into the ground there, I think in Pennsylvania, he seen it all. You know, when word was sent to Jesus, come quickly, Lazarus is sick. Everyone out here knows what it is to be sick and have loved ones that are sick. Instead of doing what Mary and Martha and his disciples thought he should do, Jesus stayed zero in on what the Father's wanted him to do. He never deviated from that. I like how you say they're still asleep. He never deviated from that. His will was to fulfill the Father's will. Hello. This is still his, for us, to fulfill his will. And if that means, I know there's people sitting out here that realize, that think that you know, I should have been there. I should have went while they were still alive. I should have been there. I was supposed to be there. Really? And I've heard somebody say, well, you know, sometimes it's better that they don't want you there. I don't believe God chooses to let us live our life in regret. I think we ought to let it go. What am I saying? Yeah, leave it behind us, to quit looking back. Quit trying to do it over again. And by the way, if you love the Lord with your whole heart, and if you sought him on the day that you sought him with your whole heart, you found him. He didn't disappoint you. Our God is not a God of disappointment. He is a God of fire. And you know what? Whatever it needs to consume within this vessel, let it consume it. Because I know in him who I believe, and whom who I believe is not only sitting on the throne, but all the people around him are saying, glory, glory, glory. They are. And you know what? They're in harmoniously sounding voices, like the angels that we were talking about back in Sunday school. Man, ever heard? I told somebody the other day, you know, the Bible says that we might have entertained angels unaware. Better watch how we entertain people. That's no lie. But you know what? The motion that God has set upon this planet and upon his creation, first of all, he's still creating. God hadn't stopped that either. He's still creating. He's the creator of heaven and earth and all that's in between. All things, how much is all, were made by him and for him, and without him was nothing made. So as we look out among the people, we should realize they're not there for us to like, but they are there for us to do God's will in their lives by doing it in ours. Be the example of what he wants us to be. If I speak to parents, I haven't been a good example of that. But the truth is, God always gives us a do-over. He doesn't hesitate. He loves us that much. Amen? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you have your will in our lives, that we encourage one another in you. Because, Father, in you we move, we breathe, and have our being. And in you we are accepted in you. We might not accept each other in ourselves, but in you. So, Lord, just change our mind to where it's been lagging behind and advance it to do that which pleases you. And they all said, amen.